It began very early on when you think about it, because of the reality of the lies said about Jesus in order to see that he was crucified, and the falsehoods that would follow through with regards to Pilate for fear of human respect, human fear. He would surrender an innocent man to execution as though he were a criminal. And the Jews themselves lying about their own understanding of themselves by saying they have no king but Caesar. And choosing Barabbas, which if you're clever and have paid attention to me in the past, you know Barabbas is Hebrew for son of the father. And so they're under deception and they chose the wrong son of the father to be spared. And so the beginning of the diabolical deception happened there, and it's continued down to our very day, but it is happening in earnest. There is an ascendancy of the power of the enemy as God himself is permitting it as a chastisement and a punishment to the people of God who have long abandoned him and live not for him anymore, but for the world. And therefore, only those who are paying attention, who are cooperating with grace, will recognize a diabolical deception and will not fall prey to it. And in the church, it consists in this one reality, the denial of the words of Christ himself, who said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Those who are involved in diabolical deception have taught Catholics that the kingdom of God is in the world, in that the world is everything. And therefore, the only charity you need is charity to the poor. In fact, in the new modern understanding of religion, the only thing you are called to worship is the poor. And in some circles, that is growing in the church, the environment. It's all a lie. It's all a manifestation of the devil's power and his ability to deceive. And because it appeals to men's pride, they fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. The whole world had turned against the Christ, as it was known, with regards to the reality of the Romans representing themselves being the masters of the world, and the Hebrews being the religious heart of the world. Essentially, both the secular and the religious aspect of the world turned against him. And they bought the lie that he was not God, that he was not the Messiah. And our Lord accepted the reality, the burden of his truth being denied. But he died so that those who embrace the lie can see the truth. Because he died taking all the sins of the world and the consequence of it upon himself so that you and I could have freedom. Freedom from slavery to sin, freedom from slavery to the devil, freedom from eternal death in hell. But one must embrace the truth, because as Jesus himself said, the truth will set you free. So therefore, as the diabolical deception is increasing and will continue to increase in the world, you must be most attentive to the crucified one, because surely you're beginning to see, even in circles within the church, the crucified one is not so popular anymore. Too many churches have the images of the risen Christ or empty crosses. You must be like Our Blessed Lady Mary Most Holy and her sister Mary of Clopas, who of course was married to Joseph's brother. That's why she is the sister of Mary. Mary was an only child. You must be like Mary of Magdala, who left a sinful life, a false life, for the truth that was Christ. You must be like St. John. You must stand at the foot of the cross and pay dire attention to everything going on, as St. John did. Because only the truth will set you free. Only the truth will save you from the great diabolical deception that is overcoming the world. And yes, by God's divine providence and disposition, overcoming the human side of the church. You must be prepared to stand at the foot of the cross and be willing to have the world hate you and be opposed to you because of that. You must be prepared to deny yourself and detach yourself from a world that beckons you and calls you to its amusement, to its fun, to its lies. You must see Christ above all else, and then recognize the mission Christ has given you as laity in particular, to reflect his light in the world. So you're not living in a fortress, fearful of the world, but you're actually in the world and reflecting the light of truth to all you encounter by living a life that is a reflection of Christ. When you come forward to venerate the cross, and remember, you are venerating a relic, a splinter of the true cross at the base of the crucifix, keep in mind the power of the cross, and keep in mind the reality it will be your commitment to living in the shadow of our Lord's cross. And he will give you the graces necessary to be out there in the world to reflect his light, to oppose the diabolical deception by the truth that is him, the truth as a person, Jesus Christ. But you have to live life for him to find the courage to give witness to the truth. Joseph of Arimathea is the example that we follow in that respect. As I've told you before, he was afraid of the Jews, and he would meet Jesus in secret. But after he saw our Lord die, he saw charity himself, he had courage, because real love fosters courage. False love, diabolical imitation of love, only fosters neediness and desperation. Yours is to live true charity. Yours is to be like Christ in the core of your state in life. When you kneel down at the altar rail to venerate the cross, be mindful of your commitment to dying to yourself for Christ, and be mindful of his commitment to you, that he will give you whatever strength, whatever graces, and whatever courage you need to indeed battle the diabolical deception that is indeed going to lead so many souls to eternal damnation. We're not hiding in a fortress. We're on a rescue mission to save as many souls as possible before the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.